The marriage amendment is changed. Will the vote hold up? Plus, the Senate makes new plans for the marriage debate. A mass transit bill advances, a gambling bill doesn't, and the governor acts to bring more propane to Indiana. That plus a Grammy wedding and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending January 31, 2014.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, there was a momentum shift in the marriage debate as opponents of a ban on gay marriage won a big battle.
Supporters of gay marriage held an impromptu rally in the State House, hugging and cheering as they celebrated a vote in the Indiana House of Representatives.
This vote means everything to me.
We're just overwhelmed with the support and the showing of the people today. It's fantastic.
The House voted 52-43 to drop the second sentence in the marriage amendment, the one that outlaws civil unions as well as gay marriage. The amendment calling for the change was offered by Republican Randy Truitt of West Lafayette. Democrats had prepared a similar amendment.
We told you years ago this second sentence might impact domestic violence laws, might impact domestic partner benefits provided by corporations and private entities.
The second sentence simply prevents marriage under another name.
Has the tide turned in the marriage debate? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, was that a watershed moment?
Well, I think that was a very significant moment. I think that Scott Piloff of the and the Democrats did extremely well with the moderate Republicans stepping in to help.
29 Democrats voted for that amendment, 23
right.
Republicans.
And I think that's a model of how things can work. Now, having said that it's a watershed moment and everything, you know, and people should be celebrating a victory, the governor comes out today and says he wants the second sentence back in and he wants it passed. So I don't know what happens in the Senate. And
the governor also said in a Wish TV interview, for what it's worth, that he's not going to speak up for the rest of the session and that he respects the legislature's will.
So he's going to do a Pontius Pilate. He's going to stand up in front of the Tea Party people and say, oh, I was for it. I said it. I gave it in an interview. And I just can't say anything more. It's beautiful. No leadership at all.
Well, this vote came as a surprise to most of the people in the State House, did it not?
I think the total was a surprise.
Yes.
I don't think it's a surprise that there were people that were voting to take out the second sentence. I think it was a surprise that they got to the number that they got to, and I do think it's significant.
And they had to get to 51, they got to 52.
Right, and I think that's important for this issue. I think that it's got some long way to go in the Senate. I think there will be an effort to restore it to what it was. But if, in fact, that happens and this thing goes to conference committee, at that point, I think all bets are off. I think nobody can tell you exactly what's going to happen at this point. And I'd be stunned if this thing passed out in the way it started. And so that means you start the process all over again.
Which is a big factor here.
You think so?
I think I'd be very surprised if they restore the language totally. that it would go back and then pass out of the House even with if, the language even,
what you're saying is,
in a conference committee.
What you're saying is that even if they reinsert language that outlaws civil unions, they will make sure that it's different so that they start the process.
No,
well,
I'm not saying
that.
I'm saying that if it comes back the same way that it went in, that it will be very difficult for them to vote it in both houses again to get enough votes to get it done.
Well, even if this works smoothly, chances are the House will have to have an identical vote like this one a second time. Do you expect that 52 people would vote or more would vote this way a second time?
You mean in a subsequent session? Is what I mean?
No, I'm saying later this session. If the second sentence is restored in the Senate and a concurrence motion comes back, we could have the very same vote again.
And I don't think that we will see the proposed amendment going to voters in November. Let's just phrase it that way.
Okay.
And I mean, in many ways, I think, you know, it's hard to predict because it's cliche now to say that things have changed so rapidly, more rapidly than any issue, and that's the truth. I mean, think of an issue where things have gone from point A, never mind point B, from point A to point Z so quickly. We're not talking years now, we're talking months and weeks. Within 10 years, I think it's safe to say, let's go backward. Indiana will have legalized same-sex marriage within 10 years, whether it's through the courts, whether it's legislative, whether it's through the ballot box. But so I think that's a given. So then you just come back this way, and everything else probably is sort of the politics or the niceties of it.
Well, in the meantime, there's been a lot of talk about how this has been a distraction, how the marriage debate has taken all the oxygen out of the state house. There's a lot getting done otherwise.
There is a lot getting done. There's not a lot of attention to some of the things being done, but there is a lot of activity going on. I think I want to pick up on a point that was made earlier, though. I think if Mike is right, and there's good reason to think that it doesn't get out of this session, I don't think you'll see leadership in either side have much of an appetite for reintroducing or allowing that amendment to get started again in subsequent sessions.
I think you might see Scott Piloth eager to see it come back again because I think he wouldn't introduce it, but I think he can sit back. You talk about somebody sitting back and saying,
you're saying it's a potent political issue.
He sees
now.
This now. I mean, it's clear he's trying to turn this.
It's not going to happen, John. That's exactly why the leadership doesn't want it to happen.
He would never introduce it.
No, he would never introduce it.
If he did, that would there's nothing that says it would get assigned to a committee.
I don't think it gets anything.
But the other factor you've got with this is that filing for primary opponents for the people who went against the Republican establishment on this closes before this bill comes back from the Senate, which is going to make, again, it may cause some people to change their votes the wrong way, or it may embolden some others.
That's right.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, should civil unions be legal? Your choices are A, yes, or B, no. Last week's question was, did Speaker Bosma abuse his power when he moved the marriage amendment from one committee to another? 94% said yes, 6% said no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Freedom Indiana found our website. The debate over gay marriage is headed to the state Senate. The marriage amendment passed the Indiana House 57-40. The proposed amendment calls for placing a permanent ban on gay marriage in the state constitution. The crowd of gay marriage supporters wearing red was much smaller this time and much quieter as lawmakers conducted an emotional debate that lasted close to an hour. The majority of the arguments were opposed to the marriage amendment. Republican Ed Clear of New Albany.
What we do here today will determine whether we allow this to continue to be a distraction in the coming weeks, months, and years.
Let every person make up their own mind who they want to be married to. And let their church decide whether they want to bless that or not.
Ed Delaney, state representative from Indianapolis there now. Mike McDaniel, this goes to the Senate Rules Committee, an announcement made by David Long. It's going to the committee that he chairs instead of the Judiciary Committee where he said it would be going a week earlier. What's the significance of that?
I think the significance is that he said that he wants it to come back clean to the floor of the Senate meeting. And when they asked him to explain what that meant, He said, I don't want any amendments. I want it to come to the floor just the way it passed the House. And if they're going to amend it, they got to do it on
the
floor.
So, again, it's all about the second sentence.
Sure.
It appears that he was afraid that the second sentence would be added in the Judiciary Committee.
Well, I mean, the difference, the Judiciary Committee, where Senator Steele's the chairman versus the Rules Committee, that Senator Long controls with the leadership of both the House or the Senate Democrats and Republicans. To me, that means that David Long wants to make sure that this gets back to the floor the way it passed the House, and then you'll see amendments that are filed at that point.
And so the battle in the Senate is going to be on what folks at the State House know as second reading. It's the amendment stage where you have the entire Senate voting, and you can expect that somebody will try to put the second sentence back in. Any reason to believe that it won't get back in?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, I think that there are a sufficient number of people who want to see not only social policy but also discrimination into the Constitution that it'll probably get back in. I do think Senator Long's handled this reasonably well, though, in sharp contrast with Speaker Bosma. He's not going to be seen as being ham-handed by moving it from a committee that he wasn't going to like the result of to another committee. He's going to put it right there where he controls it, which...
Essentially, he did it, but he didn't commit to the
move
first.
Well, but I think it looks like a stumble for the Speaker to do what he did as opposed to what Senator Long did. Yeah. It would be wonderful if the second sentence was not inserted. It would be the right policy. We'll see.
But clearly, Senator Long's trying to control the debate here.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like there's a growing sentiment, even amongst people who may be opposed to gay marriage, who want this issue to go away.
I think that it complicates everyone's life. It complicates those who are against the amendment because of the enshrining the lack of rights in the Constitution. But it's become a political problem for a lot of people who have supported this in the past, and that's why I don't think it has much of a future. So if it doesn't make it out of this session in a form that is available for the ballot in the fall, I think it's done.
I think there's been a sea change in a month here in terms of how this issue is viewed.
Yeah, let's continue the metaphor. Tsunami probably is. You go back to 2011 when this passed overwhelmingly both chambers.
Yeah, this 70 votes in the House,
and 40,
57 this time.
Right, and then we don't know yet what the Senate will do, but it was 40-10 back in 2011. It was not necessarily a partisan issue then. Now,
it is now.
And this is the point that I perhaps was making inartfully. Obviously, Scott Peloff is not going to introduce the legislation in future sessions, nor would any Democrat. But I'm saying they sense, I think, that the Republicans have captured something or are holding on to something that is poison potentially for some of the Republicans.
Well, they believe that this can lead to a large turnout of young voters.
Well,
exactly,
who are likely and now to it's even
Democrat.
Though there were
Democrats, it's clearly a partisan issue now.
That's
Republicans,
what, well,
Republicans have ownership.
Well, Democrats clearly want it to be a partisan issue.
Well, it is.
Although there were Democrats again who voted
sure.
in 2011. So
not this time.
This has been a fascinating thing to watch, and it continues to be because I talked to a lot of people, members of the legislature, about this issue over the last 2 months, and I'm surprised, quite frankly, of the membership of the Senate that I've talked to who do believe that the second sentence is a problem, and that they actually have said to me that there is more hope there for them that this thing might be stopped because of that second sentence. And I've heard that from some people that, quite frankly, I was stunned to hear that from.
Okay.
So this thing is more wide open at this point than people believe that it is, even in the Senate, even though the Senate is more conservative, I think, than the House.
I agree.
And makeup. But, you know, I don't know that it has enough difference, but because of what happened in the House, it's going to be difficult to get everybody on the same page again.
Well, if the second sentence does not get in the Senate, it'll be because there's a realization, even among the conservatives in the Senate, that is the third rail.
And
for
what
November.
We're talking about here, there's been a mixture in both houses of people who don't want this to happen for political reasons, people who honestly have a concern about the second sentence,
about the policy.
And
or
then people
the policy
who are
the
about the policy.
Right.
So it's a mix of all of that.
Yeah.
And anytime you're dealing with a mix of all of those reasons instead of one that overwhelmingly stands out, it makes for a completely different dynamic.
And there are some people who philosophically don't think you should put social policy in the
Constitution.
I agree.
There are some in that mix, too.
And there are people who don't think you should put issues that aren't clearly decided in the
right.
No question.
One way or
when
the
you
other.
Have a vote that close, it right. is clearly yeah, not
that's
a constitutional
That's the one
amendment.
Thing that has become clear out of all of this, is there is such a mixed feeling in the legislature over this now that didn't exist in 2011.
From the polls as well.
Oh, absolutely.
We
absolutely.
find out more the week after next. Now, two other issues. A new mass transit proposal is moving in the State House. The plan could lead to an improved bus system in central Indiana. To do that, it would let counties vote on whether to raise taxes to fund improvements. Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard testified for it.
Efficient, convenient, and reliable transportation ranks as one of the top priorities for people living in a metropolitan area. It is critical to attracting new residents, and it is critical for the future growth of the city.
John Katzenberger, no more light rail. Is that the key here?
I think that's one of the keys. I think there's a realization that it's a heavy capital cost and that we really need to solve the bus system first, and that, you know, you can use bus rapid transit much the way you can light rail if you dedicate lines and lanes. So I think that this is a move forward for both the proponents and the legislature. But it's still got a ways to go before it becomes something that becomes law.
But it's interesting that this has failed previously multiple times. We're in a short session, and it's moving.
Well, and look at the chamber where it's moving. It's where it's had trouble in the past is in the Senate, if I'm not mistaken. But it's what it does, it shines a light, it seems to me, on the paradox of home rule. And we see it in so many issues, whether it's other kinds of tax
reform.
Well,
there's also a paradox on referendums here.
Yeah, right?
And that's the notion.
Some people who want referendums
here. Well, that's the notion. I mean, this notion of pushing government down to the level closest to the people. And you have a lot of people who would advocate that until it's an issue they don't advocate that. So, you know, we'll let you vote. We'll let you put this in front of your voters, your residents, your taxpayers, but only once we put these parameters on it. You know, no rail. Buses have to be painted. I'm being
blue
facetious.
Blue yeah, I mean, yellow.
But it's very narrow. It's not just if you, local government, think this is for you, then you should move forward.
Is Greg Ballard making progress here?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's significant that this thing is moving the way it is in the Senate. I think it has a chance to pass the Senate because of the way it's crafted right now. It does still have some problems when it gets to the House, especially when it comes to the funding mechanisms, and they're still concerned about that. But I'm hopeful that it does get out of the Senate so they can at least continue to work on it, because the regular mass transit, regional mass transit, in the true sense of what we think about mass transit, is never going to happen until they take what I consider to be baby steps that are being taken with this legislation.
Part of the lesson here is that they bit off too big a chunk to begin with.
The first time around. Yeah, right. There's no question about that. For this legislature, and the way they go about doing things, that's true. And I think it's important that this thing's moving, and I think it has a good chance to get it done this time.
It's important it's moving, but when you see on the CBS Evening News with the Chinese New Year and they're moving 125 million people by high-speed trains in China, and we can't have local trains in Indianapolis.
I'm sure there are a lot of local referendums on those.
They do have a lot of the roads now, and so you get that. But the other problem with the bill in the Senate is there are a couple of poison pills in there. And I don't know whether somebody's playing...
One of them having to do with union wages.
And I don't know whether somebody's playing games to try to kill it or whether there are earmarks in there that people are trying to protect. But that nonsense has to stop. It ought to rise and fall on its own merits, and it's high time we had a decent mass transit in this
city. So you think they ought to have a referendum on this one?
I actually do think they ought to have a referendum on this.
Keep in mind, this is an argument about something beyond just mass transit. You know, it was going to be five counties that would in and around Indianapolis that would have the authority. Then it was amended to have a sixth. But for many of the people, I think the larger debate in their minds is this question of, gee, if it's six now or five now, is it going to be 10? Is it going to be 20? Is it going to be 92 eventually, where the local authority has this? And that makes a lot of people nervous in the General Assembly.
I just don't see Steuben County doing this. Sorry, John. I just don't see it.
Maybe not on this issue, but the notion of referenda and
then have the courage to stand up and give them a taxing authority to do it themselves. But that's the problem. I would just as soon not have the referendum on that or anything else. But the legislature doesn't have the wherewithal to stand up there and let the local governments make that decision.
That's why I say it's not transportation. It's the notion of referenda. It's the notion of home rule.
That's much broader.
Well,
yeah, it's the notion.
It's the notion of legislators in another part of the state being branded with voting for a tax increase.
Well, that's a big problem, and that's an evolution we've seen over the last 10 years or so, and that is that move toward a referendum, so that that does unhook them from a local decision.
Well, I don't know if they decide wrong on the local level. It seems
issue.
To me if you empowered them to do that, you're equally guilty. Tell Grover Norquist.
You're an enabler.
To another issue. You could say that casinos came up a loser in the 2014 General Assembly. That's the message that came out of a state Senate committee where no vote was taken on a bill sought by the casino industry. The bill would permit riverboat casinos to offer gambling in the pavilions and corridors that lead to the riverboats, in effect making them land-based casinos. The bill also called for live dealers for table games at Racinos in Anderson and Shelbyville. Representatives of the casino industry argue that much of their business comes from out of state, and with new land-based casinos in surrounding states, they say it's impossible to keep up. Steve Jimenez of Grand Victoria.
From a customer's experience, you can't compete with a land-based facility.
Our revenue has been down by about $370 million. Which is a pretty significant decline.
Since 2009?
Correct.
Mike Smith of the Indiana Casino Association there. John Schwanis, the casinos will be back next year. Could it be too late?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, for some casinos that are seeing a reduction in their profits, they would argue perhaps it's too late. But I think as a practical matter, if they got significant legislation of the kind that you described next session, a lot of people would still be happy because there's still a shaking out now of the industry. You have casinos in, what, six places, I think, in Ohio that you can now place wagers.
The biggest problem we've got is that you got a land-based casino in Cincinnati that's just down the road from the Indiana River.
That's the thing. I mean, the argument we've heard so much about how Indiana needs to be competitive in job creation and economic development, we hear it on the argument for tax reform. Well, here's an area where clearly the casino and gaming industry in Indiana would say they don't have a full toolbox. Yeah. They can't fend for themselves because they don't have the land-based action.
If they're going to get what they're after, it's going to be the effect on the state budget, right?
If they get what they want, an additional revenue for the state, is that what you're saying?
Well, the casino taxes are off by 15%. The
casino taxes are off a lot. It has affected the
employment
state
too,
budget
is way down.
In a big way, and it's had a big effect in northwest Indiana, where Indian casinos in southwest Michigan have taken the same toll that casino in Cincinnati has taken in southeast Indiana. They do need to make changes if they want the revenue. The legislature can't ignore this if indeed it wants the revenue from casinos, and they're going to have to think about other areas of the state.
And if you want to keep cutting taxes, you need the revenue.
Tell that to Mike Pence.
Well, and he's against an expansion of gambling.
Well, there you go. Again, an inconsistency on his part.
Well, I don't know that it's inconsistent. I think he's been consistent, one. But it's an
no,
issue.
No, I mean on the taxes. Let the taxes go and then replace them.
It's a problem for the casinos, right?
Well, let's start with this. I think there was an agreement from legislative leadership in both houses that they weren't going to open the gaming law this year.
Right. They felt like this was a victory just to get a hearing.
Right. And I think everybody knew that going in, that there was not going to be a vote on these issues at this time. I think they did it as a favor to somebody who wanted to introduce it for the people back home. And they did that and had a good hearing. And I think it will be back in force next year, because they are going to have to do some things to make us more competitive. And the revenues being down in casinos generally across the country are one part of the economic downturn that we've been going through. It's
right.
True all over the United States. But then competition has affected, especially the boats and the ones in northwest Indiana.
Just to be clear-minded.
If you made the decision to use gambling revenue and to use it as part of the state support, you've got to allow them to be
big.
And even if there is change, you may never get back to the high watermark you had simply because of the saturation.
Novelty,
you never get back.
Novelty,
no, because you had an advantage for so long.
Yeah. That riverboat sailed. Finally, back to gay marriage and the statement that was made during the Grammy Awards. 33 same-sex couples exchanged vows on the broadcast. They include two women from Fishers. Carolyn Martin and Sharon Crust say they were happy to bring added attention to the same-sex marriage debate.
I think the timing for this event for us has done something for the state of Indiana, and at least people will talk about it.
I hope that people will begin to see that we're really not anything to be afraid of, and we're not any different. You know, it's we are who we are.
Mike McDaniel, will that affect what's going on at the State House?
No, but congratulations to them. But I don't think that's part of the debate going on down there right now.
But do you think an Indiana couple was included in that event?
I hope so, and I think it was a good. I think it was a good message. The lack of tolerance shown by pushing this forward, I think, gives a black eye to the entire state, and I hope it fails.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.